You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 63 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Jeremy B.
Junior Vice President.
You can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, stirring them up, pouring it into a hot pan, letting it solidify, flipping it a couple of times, adding some cheese, peppers, maybe some onions and ham, then folding the whole thing in half and putting it on a plate.
Mmm.
Hungry for omelets?
I am. I would love to have that omelet. I didn't know Anthony Jeselnik was such a chef. Do you make any food? You don't cook ever. Come on.
No, I make oatmeal for myself. I heat up frozen pizzas.
Cut your ear off. Isn't that what happened? Weren't you making a pizza?
I didn't cut my ear off.
Well, obviously.
I cut my ear on a cabinet.
Okay.
But it wasn't like I had a knife and I was like, I'd love to eat an omelet right now. Oops. I shouldn't have thrown it in the air like that. No, I've never made an omelet, but I have watched omelets being made at an omelet making station.
Hmm.
And I've seen what happens. I pretty much described it perfectly.
The only food I ever make for my children are eggs in the morning. And even that's very, very rare. But every once in a while.
I can make scrambled eggs. I can fry them, but I don't know if it's over easy. I don't know how to do, like, you're getting what I give you. You know what I mean? If I have to make an egg. But scrambled eggs, I can nail it.
He's available. Everyone out there.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying. You have a lot of assets, but yeah, houses. Cooking would not be one of them.
There was like a service that where like you have a chef come into your house. It's like a private chef for like the night where he just comes in and cooks the meal for everybody. But you've got to deal with him for like hours. And my manager used to use it. And one time I had a dinner party and she was like, this guy's driving me fucking nuts. Like, he's just sitting there for hours, like talking her up, like trying to get auditions, like trying to make jokes. It was the worst. I'm like, I would never do this.
Mm. Well, here we are. Episode 63. That was my favorite number as a kid for a long time. I don't know
really?
Why. I just was trying to be weird.
But is there an athlete?
Like a couple things happened and now I don't even remember what it was that was related to the number 63. And then I just decided I liked it.
Maybe you like experienced 69 for the first time, like in a grave. So it was like 6 feet under and you thought of it as 63 and then that stayed with you. Like, honestly, if I like went down on someone, well, they went down on me in a grave, I would remember it for the rest of
everyone
my life.
Knows that as a, six,
especially
as a
the young
63
person. Yeah, it's a 63.
It's like one of those things that, you know, when you're a kid, like a lot of people say, oh yeah, I did a 63. Like, no one actually did it, but everyone knows. It's like a dirty Sanchez or something.
Yeah,
everyone
yeah.
knows the phrase, but the 63 isn't often happening.
Like at summer camp, I went into a graveyard at a camp, and we dug up a body and then we went down on each other in the, like 6 feet down in the grave. And like, no one really believes you, but it like makes you seem cool for like a little bit.
Yeah.
And the younger kids would believe you. But it is definitely a thing. 63.
I love that we're at 63. It means there's only 7 episodes left of this second season at Comedy Central. Of you know, me and my friend Anthony Jeselnik talking about our lives with
tell
our
them,
producer,
tell them what I do for
Erica.
Tell them what we do for a living.
You're a comedian.
Yeah.
You're a comedian. People might just be joining. I hope people are just joining for the first time. Our listenership would indicate that people are jumping aboard midway through. I appreciate the ones who let us know that they're going back to the start and they like crank through it because these shows are timeless.
This will be interesting because this like last time it was like, are we going to go somewhere else? Like, we're not going anywhere else. We're here. This is our forever home for the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JVP. Junior Vice President.
So we're not going to go anywhere for season 3. We're staying here if there is a season 3. There might not be. Who knows if Comedy Central can give me what I want, and I'm going to want some additional things for season 3, for the end game, as I like to call it. This will be the final season. And, you know, when you've been doing something a long time, like, you need more incentive to keep doing it at a high level. And we do it at the highest level. We do it at a 63.
I was going to say, let's just say there's going to be a lot of 63 in
mm-hmm.
writing.
Mm-hmm. I
put
think,
that in your contract.
So I think I'll have my agent engage at some point with season 3. We'll see how it goes. I'm sure we'll have some news for you as we go forward. How was your week, Greg? What'd you do?
Yeah, my parents were in town. It was pretty calm week. You know, kids. The NFL is ramping up. Yes.
I just think your parents in town. I know your mom and dad. Any 63 action?
That's not happening.
Because I know they get an Airbnb. And I figured there's got to be a backyard. Maybe they did a shovel.
There is a little courtyard in the place that they stay. You know, they
same
get,
place
they,
every time.
No, but this one they've done.
So
a
they
few,
get kicked out. A few. For how loud they make love.
No, a few times. And it did. And my kids went over there one day, and there's like a little yard and a little stream in the yard. They're like the back, and it does make me feel bad. I have not provided my children with a real like lawn and backyard for their childhood because they're like so excited to have a little
and
nature.
Rusty toys in the back of Greg's yard.
But yeah, not a lot of fun stuff going up. The NFL's ramping up to free agency next week, but it's relatively calm.
Listen, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know that the NFL is ramping up to free agency, then you're listening to the wrong podcast. You meant to click on something else.
I did notice when we went to the Natural History Museum on Sunday, which was great. It was very quiet. It was dead, and I was wondering if that was a little corona scare is keeping people away from the museums. So maybe not, you know, a great time to go, but if you're going to go, that's a plus.
That actually makes me want to go to the museum more knowing that it's going to be dead. Like,
right.
I've been thinking about... like
It was delightful.
I go to the Comedy Store a couple times a week, and it's packed. Like, no one's worried about corona in the Comedy Store. And they like everything's got signs, like, don't, if you're sick, don't come to work. Like, they're very conscientious of that. Like, at my work, if anyone's been sick, that they stay out. That's my fear. Is it, like, not even just at the Comedy Store, but any comedy club... if they found out, like a comedy club employee had the virus, then I think that like people would stop going to comedy shows. Right now, people are still cool with it. Like there was,
I feel
like
it could change in the next week.
Of course, it could change. It could change right now while we're doing this. But there was a priest who came down with the coronavirus after he had said a mass and not only given communion but like shaken 500 hands. And so I encourage all the listeners to never go to church again. Like that's how you die. Is going to church. I think that's I would say church is probably ground zero for this.
Walker, your godson goes to church. I mean, his preschool's in a church, you know, in a preschool connected to a church.
Yeah, but it's like on like kind of like a side, like it's like a normal. Like when I went there and visited him, I had no idea it was a church, and I feel it. You know what I mean? I feel burn if I walk into a church. But just to all our listeners, be safe. Do not go to church and do not shake a priest's hand ever. Ever do the foot bump, you know what I mean? Kick them in the feet. If a priest is walking by, just kick their feet out from under them. That's how you say hello.
It is like a weird thing to talk about, or that your kids are just like aware of. Like without saying anything, Walker told us that his owl, with his, it's called Brother Owl, his like main stuffed animal had coronavirus.
Really?
What?
The owl got it.
The owl got it. Yeah.
So what did he do with the owl? Did he burn it?
No. He said the next day that the owl drank a lot of water and no longer has it.
Because the owl.
And I was like, that's not how you get rid of the Rona. But
the owl's not that old.
It's like 5 or 6 years old. Yeah. He got it when he was born.
The way you just said that made me think that, like, do you think if Walker came up with a parody song that was like My Corona, that he could make millions of dollars?
Weird Al had to tweet that he will not be making that song because I guess he was getting tweeted at by so many people.
I got to think that Weird Al, like, sees an idea. He's like me. Like, if someone tweets, here's an idea for a joke, I'm never going to do that joke. And I would think if you tweet Weird Al a song idea,
right,
there's no way that he does it. But Weird Al had, like, a bunch of swine flu songs. That never really took off.
Like Ebola songs, that would be good.
Yeah.
I like gave Walker like a kiss though the other day, and he was like, "Oh, you just gave me coronavirus." So it's like it's on the kids are talking about it, but they don't really know what it is.
What kind of kiss?
It was like right after you know, just a normal kiss. It was
after
on
what?
After brushing our teeth together, which sounds weird.
I mean, do you make him brush your teeth like to get the kiss? Or are you like, hey, listen, your breath's kind of kicking. I want to get in there.
I mean, it was on his forehead, and sometimes we brush teeth together in the morning, and that if I do it with him, it'll just get him doing it because we gotta get to school, and so you know,
do you like brush each other's
alone.
Teeth?
I've held his toothbrush, but he's past that stage now. He's a big boy.
All right.
So am I.
So are you. Yeah, not gonna lie. Yeah, I've been at the Comedy Store a lot. I've been working on the show, Good Talk, a lot. It's really coming together. I have one guest who's got to fly in that I'm worried that they might bail. Like, I'm going to a wedding this weekend. One of my friends, Raj, is getting married, and I feel bad because a lot of his family, you know, lives overseas, and his parents can't come anymore.
What?
Like, his parents are old, and he's like, I don't want you guys flying all this way into the country. His brother can't come anymore because his company has had a travel lockdown. So his wife's, wife-to-be, her family's
going to be there. Where are
they
getting married,
out here? Out here, yeah, in L.A. He was like, if you're sick, don't worry about not coming. But I think, like, the more of his family that drops out, the closer I get to giving a speech. And I love to give speeches at weddings where I have no business giving a speech. And so this might be my chance, my time to shine.
I mean, how many speeches at wedding have you given?
Your wedding. And then I've only been invited to like two other weddings. And I've given speeches at both of them. Like one of those, like, they grab the mic away from me speeches and say, now's not the time. Wait until he kisses the bride. You know what I mean? Like, stop this right now.
But I really wish we had video of the speech you gave at mine.
Honestly, I would have prepared differently if I had known there was a video camera at that speech. You know what I mean? Instead of like, I'm going to drink my way to an epiphany of what I'm going to say, I would have written something down and then delivered it.
I remember you killing. I think you did well.
I did. As long as the DJ is laughing, then I know I'm in good shape.
I'm just worried about like interrupting you this week.
I gave a speech at my sister's. You just interrupted me to say that?
That's what I'm saying.
I gave a speech at my sister's wedding where my parents made me go and apologize to a member of the band afterwards who I made fun of. That was fun.
What did you say about the member of the band?
He had a mullet that I commented on throughout the speech. I kept bringing it back to that guy.
It's a vet move.
I think if you play at a wedding band in Pittsburgh, you got a mullet. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Maybe we should renew our vows just so you could give a speech.
Me and you?
No. I mean, that's season four.
Yeah, if we get a season three, that's kind of like renewing vows. I feel like the same commitment level. It feels like it's gonna be forever. I've been doing stand-up at the Comedy Store. I've got a couple shows tonight. One, a benefit for the Comics Assistance Fund, something that they put together after Brody Stevens' unfortunate passing that helps comics kind of seek therapy. And then I have my Largo show, my monthly Largo show tomorrow. You guys went last month, but I got this last one, and then I focused directly on the show. This is almost like my last show for like a month or so, so I'm looking forward to that and then being done with that and just focusing right on the show. But yeah, one of my guests of the show is flying into town, so I hope we don't lose him. But we've almost booked the entire thing. We almost have all the scripts done. Some very very fun and interesting games that I'm looking forward to. And today I got fitted for tailored suits. Like a tailored suits company came in and fit me up to, you know, I'm gonna wear suits. Sometimes a tie, sometimes a vest, which I've never worn before. But I'm gonna be looking real good.
Like a vest with a suit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like a 3-piece suit.
Right.
But I'm last season we kind of just threw it together, and I look good sometimes. Sometimes it was like whatever. But this season you're gonna be like, oh my god, I want a 63 my TV because it looks so good.
You're cranking though right now. I mean, you.
We're way ahead of
you. Said, you know, you were up at 8:30 this morning, and you've been busy for every moment since. I mean, you said 8:30 like that was, you know, impressive. But I guess for you, that's early. But you've been going, you know, balls to the wall, and you have shows after this, and, like, it's a lot.
I mean, what's funny is that I sleep through my alarm a lot. Like, when I go to bed, I have Sonos. You know what I mean? Like, that. It's like, you know, it's speakers throughout your house. There's one in my bedroom that I play Rain on Leaves, the LeBron James remix of Rain on Leaves, which sounds exactly like Rain on Leaves. I have that Calm app that does like different things you can sleep to.
Wait, what is the LeBron James?
LeBron James did a thing with Calm where he did an inspirational story to like chill you out, which actually like was awesome to listen to. And like, it's like meditation and focus and stuff. So I listened to that, but he also had his own version. He listens to Rain on Leaves when he goes to sleep. So I started doing that, and it's great, but it's so loud that I sleep through my alarm. And I usually wake up by 9 anyway, but if I wake up at 8:30, I'm screwed. But then I figured out that Sonos has its own alarm. So it's Rain on Leaves until 8:30, and then it's fucking hip-hop, loud as shit, that I jump out of bed. You think it would be, like, annoying, but I jump out of bed, like, ready to run through a goddamn brick wall. Like, I jump out of bed so psyched to attack the day that it's been a fun week since I learned about that. But, yeah, that's pretty much – I mean, just, like, I'm all about good talk. I'm all about making the show as good as it can be. The writers have been great. They've been contributing great things. And if you like season one, you are going to love season two. I'm just excited to hit the ground running and start doing it. It's interesting that we have like a whole month to film the show. Like we have a whole month. We have the studio for a month. And it's that way, like, it gives people an opportunity to get to do the show. If someone's like, I'm out of town most of the month, it's like, well, what about this day? You know what I mean? And it's somehow worked out that almost every episode we're taping in the first like 6 days. But now people are kind of moving around. And then we have one on the very last day that I'm hoping that now we have these last two to slide in, that they kind of go a little later on. But it's just crazy how it works out that we like do like six in a row, have like 2 weeks off, and then come in for the last two. But I will be looking good, and I'm excited for these last couple guests to roll in. Again, I cannot announce any of them until at least we've shot it, because you never know who's going to bail, who's going to drop out, who might be embarrassed, you know, to be seen with me. There's definitely people in that category, but I'm pumped.
It's got to be hard kind of balancing the stand-up and doing the show and your podcast. And your roles as a godfather. You have the four major pillars in your life.
I put almost no thought into this podcast. I forgot we were doing it today until you texted me. I thought I was going to get to go home and read for a little bit before my show tonight. And then you texted me, and I was like, oh, yeah. I honestly probably would not have shown up until you texted me to be like, where are you?
That would have been a shocking lack of professionalism from maybe the most professional guy I know. Maybe people wouldn't know that about Anthony Jeselnik, but he does not miss, anything except for Bomani Jones' podcast.
Oh, it still kills me. It still kills me that I missed Bomani Jones' podcast, and he'll never believe me that it was like the one thing that I've ever missed. Slept through that. And now I don't know if I'll ever get to do it again, now that High Noon's been canceled for being too woke.
I think you'll have a chance. They'll still be doing the podcast. Stay in the Bomani Jones business.
I think if I was like, I'm back in New York, how about a redo? I don't think he would trust me to do it.
Came to him and were like, hey, man, I want to make up for, or I want to do the show, he's probably not coming to you again. I bet he'd be like, cool.
I think if I was like, listen, when I said I would do it, I was doing Seth Meyers the night before. I thought it was going to tape at 7 o'clock like it normally does. It taped at 1:30 in the morning because it was a live one and I couldn't get to sleep afterwards. I don't know if he would believe me. Because people just make up stories.
You don't need to give them the story. It doesn't matter why you missed it. What matters.
I'm giving them the story right now. I'm hoping that people hear this and get it back to him. That like Anthony does feel bad. And Anthony feels bad about nothing. Do you know how many times I've 63'd and never felt bad about it? Not even looked at the gravestone to see who it was with. And now I feel bad about this. But I am very, very excited to. And this is like tomorrow's Largo show is almost my like, I'm done with stand up until the show is over. I've got a couple shows here and there, and I'll work on stand up over the weekends, write new stuff. But I won't be doing anything. I'm just going to be focused directly on the show and to a lesser extent this podcast. Even though we'll be taking a couple days off in April
and maybe checking out a little free agency frenzy next week on NFL Network.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see where Tom Brady goes to embarrass himself the last 2 years of his career. But as a godfather, I did get Ellis a Kindle, which you say she's very much enjoying.
Yes, she is. It's awesome. Yeah. You know, she rolls through books, so it's an easier way to just keep a million.
I'm the best godfather of all time. The greatest godfather ever. Since Mario Puzo wrote that book. Anything else happened to you this week that you want to talk about?
I'm good.
Nothing. You know? Your family's cool. Things good with the parents in town. Any friction?
No friction this time.
Except when they're at their Airbnb, then it's friction city. Then it's like you walk by it and your hair stands up.
Yeah, it's chafing
because of all the static electricity. You know what I mean? Like, hey, why are you guys always out of breath? Kind of thing.
It is tricky.
Dad, why is your face so red?
It is tricky having parents with so much sexual chemistry between them. It's like you just feel as like the younger couple, you got to match up.
It's unreal. It's like they're still on their honeymoon.
We've kind of mastered the trip. I think we've like figured out the perfect way to do it. You know, they're at their own place. It's like 5 or 6 full days. Like any more is, you know, then things start happening.
I'm
just saying, like, then maybe it's too long. It's like tension, they're missing home, then things can go wrong. Like at 5 to 6 days is like the perfect amount, especially when, you know, the kids are at school during the day, so it's focused on the, you know, it's good.
Were they at all worried about traveling with the corona?
They weren't I was surprised. I was like, way to go, because they would be in that high risk area. It was, they're 76 and 79 years old. I don't know if they want me putting their age out there, but I just did.
People know.
And they weren't really, they didn't seem to be too concerned.
I had a friend come in from Portland.
My brother's way more concerned. Sorry for interrupting. Again, now that you put it in my head, of course I interrupt you a lot. I interrupt everyone. It's a terrible habit. Dinner at my household is just everyone fighting for, you know, speaking time when I was growing up.
But you're not recording that dinner to go to be a podcast that people listen to because they want to hear the other people at dinner. That's what this is. If I'm talking, you shut it. You can talk. You can talk when it's your time to talk. But if my mouth is moving at all, even if I'm just mouthing words silently, you keep your lips together. I had a friend come in from Portland last week for business, and he showed me a picture of his flight. Portland to L.A., 8 people on the flight total. Mm.
Wow.
People, I feel like it's like a good time to buy a ticket. If you're not afraid of it, like it's a good time to buy a ticket anywhere and go. I had a friend who was like, me and my girlfriend are going to Italy. She still wants to try to see if we can go. And I was like, dude, like Italy's told you no.
Right.
You cannot do that.
Well, that's to the Northwest, which I think, you know, in Portland, maybe people are especially freaked out. The LAX seemed to be pretty jammed, and their flights were more or less normal, according to them. But I am like planning like a vacation in April, and I did, you know, the thing where like I waited for the prices to go way down, and I am planning to do it. But obviously, if the situation changes the next couple of weeks and they say, you know, don't be flying,
yeah, but you can
then
buy,
I will. Then
but
I'll
the,
can't, then
but
I'll,
the airline
yeah.
will let you cancel. Right. But I think if you went to buy tickets now, even if it's for like May or something, it's going to be super cheap.
They're it went down. I've been tracking it because I hadn't bought the tickets yet. It went down like 40% like over the last week.
Oh, I booked a cruise. And they were it was super
it's
cheap.
Like a cruise full of priests.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Just me just kicking priests over the side of the boat. I'm saving the world from priests like that. That sounds like a pretty good week for both of us. Just business as usual, you know? We're just living our lives despite the oncoming infection. And now let's take it down to, did we get any notes? It's keeping me away. Got a reason. Ooh. That sounds like the yeah.
That's what I thought
what's
too.
What's the mix this week?
Just a hip hop vocal kind of.
I mean, that wasn't.
That's
hip-hop.
Exactly. That's what
sounded
I
some like Karen O though. I like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, that was good. I like the song, but I do not agree that it's hip hop. We didn't get any notes, did we, on the podcast?
We did not.
Well, we got an email from Jeremy.
Yeah, but what is?
He did say he really enjoyed last week's interview segment. The mock job interview.
My brother told me that's the hardest he's ever laughed at the podcast.
Really?
Last week. Yeah. My mom, I have not spoken to in months. But no notes on the podcast, but I do have a programming note for Good Talk. We lost an executive to the reshuffling that's been going on since the merger. Rest in peace, Tara Schuster. Tara Schuster was our like main executive for season one. She's been moved off. She said, and I choose to believe her on this, that there are other shows at Comedy Central that are in need of her services, and our show is pretty much up on its feet. We're up and running. We know what we're doing. We don't need the oversight that some of the other shows need. And I know what's coming up around the bend on Comedy Central. I tend to agree with her that she's got her work cut out for her. Mm. But Tara Schuster also has a book out now. I'll plug her book as a going away present. She put out a book a few weeks ago called Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies. It's actually doing very well on like the Amazon lists. I don't know if it made the bestsellers. It's support your local bookstore, as I like to say, but check out Buy Yourself the Fucking Lilies, a humorous self-help / memoir from an executive at Comedy Central. Hmm. Rest in peace, Tara Schuster. We'll be fine without you, but let me find out that you're lying. Let me find out the network's not telling me the truth about why you're leaving, that it's like a personal thing, and I'll burn it to the ground. I'll light one of your books on fire and throw it through the window. Well, 63 in hell. And that was, did we get any notes? And now let's take it down to a happier place. A place where everyone 63s all the time. Let's take it down to Erica's Corner. People have to live until we How white would you have to be? How old and white would you have to be to consider that hip-hop in any way? Like, that, my dad could even get through that. Erica Tamposi is our producer. She's spunky. She's funky. She's got some junk in the trunky. She's cool. We like her. She's been with us almost every episode, except for two unfortunate incidents where we had to replace her for, I'm going to go ahead and say, behavioral issues. But she turned it around, and she came back, and she earned her way back into our trust. Erica, we like to give her a little time to carve out of the podcast for herself, to ask us a question, bring up a viewer email, do a little quiz, you know, anything she wants. Erica, what do you got this week?
Cool. I got a fan email for you guys. Erica, just wanted to make sure you saw this. A guy in jail in Michigan has a blog and did a 1 to 10 ranking of how different comedians would handle prison, 10 being a breeze and 1 being, like, assaulted every day. Nick, and sent me the link. So before I tell you what you were rated, this guy in prison has a blog called Comedians. It's called Notes from the Pen, and his post, Comedians in Prison, basically does like a rating. Like, a category 1 is protective custody, which is a score 1 or 2. 3 or 4 is like soft targets. 4 to 5 to 6 is run of the millers, just sort of your average people. 7 to 8 is your tough guys, assholes, wild cards, probably, you know, joining a gang or whatever. And category 5, score 9 or 10, are like idols and stoics. So these comedians would be fine. They have the physical attributes that would prevent them from being classified as potential victims and blah, 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 blah. So he goes through this list and he puts Anthony Jeselnik 2 out of 10. And 2 is in protective custody.
Doesn't surprise me.
Flowers.
2 means like you'd be struggling.
No,
very
two,
hard.
2 means I'd have a hard time mentally, but no one would ever touch me because I'd be in protective custody. I assume, you know, the celebrity thing. I'm going to be in protective custody. I've thought about, you know, how I would go to prison. you know, you watch movies about prison. You think that's how I would do it. Like, what was the movie with Edward Norton, the Spike Lee movie? Kind of like a post 9/11 Rosario Dawson.
25th Hour.
25th Hour.
One of the best. One of the great movies.
Maybe my favorite Spike Lee movie. Edward Norton has his friend beat him up before he goes into prison. Because he's like, if I go in looking like this, it's going to be hell for me. If I go in all beat up, people will leave me alone. I'd have Greg kick my ass. I'd have Greg just like beat the shit out of me for like a good 15, 20 minutes. And I would do it the way Edward Norton gets Barry Pepper to do it, by just insulting him. And like doing like real like harsh truths about Greg's life that he's never thought about, until Greg just gets on top of me and starts wailing away. And then I would be going to prison all kind of like swollen up, and people would leave me alone. And then I thought about the movie Shawshank Redemption, where I'd get in the good graces of everybody by doing their taxes. You know, that I would just meet the guards and be like, let me do your taxes for you. And they just line up.
But you don't know how to
get
do
their taxes.
You don't know
done.
How to do
they don't
taxes.
Know that the first year. You know what I mean? It depends on how long I'm in jail. But that first year would go by easy street because I'm doing their taxes.
But isn't it gonna reverse on you even worse the next year when they're like, you fucked up my taxes, man?
That's when I'm just like, let me handle your audit. You know I messed up that time. I was distracted from the beating Greg gave me. Let me handle the audit. And then I thought, if anything sexual happened, you know, if anyone like pulled me into a corner and tried to force themselves on me, I would just be like the guy in Watchmen, where I'd just scream, you don't understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. And I would just scream that the whole time I was being assaulted. And I feel like if you just kept on screaming that, no matter what happened, eventually people are going to give you some space. But yeah, I didn't take it as an insult. I thought I'd be in protective custody.
Well, it said you'd be assaulted like custody. Every day, essentially, if you're a 2. I mean, you're getting attacked. You're 2, you know, you're well known, perhaps, but you're also, you know, you're too pretty.
The blurb says Hitler's wet dream might have trouble.
Might. You know what I mean? He doesn't know my plan.
Affluence with no hardened edge makes a large target.
Ooh, you're not a... He's saying that Anthony doesn't have a hardened edge?
If only the words behind sticks and stones were true. It might take a few lumps, but I think AJ would go to PC to safely roast fellow inmates.
I mean, I feel like I would get in there the first day and just explain that I've seen every episode of Oz. You know, and then they're like, oh, he's kind of one of us. You know, I feel like I could make it. You know, I did spend probably 24 hours in jail total in college. you know, 12 hours kind of back to back. So I know exactly what it's like, you know, and you kind of, they say you kind of do, you only do 2 days in prison, the day you get in and the day you get out. And then everything in between is just me screaming, you don't understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. I would like, well, people would be like, we're trying to sleep. And I would keep on screaming that, just into infinity. I don't take fault with one or two. I would be upset if they told me I was like a three or a four, which is where like you're soft, but you don't get protective custody. You're not worth it. So they just extort you. They take your money. I'm not going to be one of those guys who like leaves prison poor. I'm going to make money in prison, you know, by making my own cigarettes.
Or making your own hand sanitizer. They're doing that in
New York.
Don't
get ahead of yourself. Don't get it. That's worse than interrupting me.
What do you think would happen if
you were in prison?
I'm like a seven.
I think, honestly,
maybe an eight. An eight.
Like, would you change your appearance before you went in?
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't have any strategy.
You would just walk right in.
I've been in prison the day you get in and the day you get out. So I've done the 2 days in prison, and of the people I went in with, I think I was in the best shape. I handled it. I didn't break.
You'd go out to the yard and start jogging around to show them how good a shape you're in. They'd be like, "We're not going to mess with this guy." I think maybe if this guy's got a computer, we can do a blog. They must have fantasy football, so I could see you being like a big
right.
Hit
we
there.
Could. I could help.
Let me help with your fantasy football
gambling.
Team.
That would be my angle. I would try to be like the guy who sets the lines and like makes a little. Business, you know, out of it, but not take any of the money for myself. Just try to like help people out in a way to avoid my life irrevocably.
I would cover all my bases. Like I would have a swastika tattooed on my front and my back. But if you look close at the swastika on the front, it would say "I love black people," like in just like little letters over and over again to form a swastika. And on the back, it would say something in Spanish like "I love Latino people," so that you'd see me from far away and be like, "Oh my god!" And then if you tried to fight me because of it, you get close and be like, "Oh, I see what he's doing."
I mean, that doesn't really.
You know what I mean,
like, that doesn't really cover all the people that the swastika could offend, you know, including Jewish people.
There's not really Jewish gangs. You know what I mean?
How about like, you know, everyone voting for Bernie Sanders? Hey,
not in prison. You're not in prison. You're not allowed to vote. What I could do, I'd have the swastika that says "I love black people" on the front. Swastika that says in Spanish "Estola Latino," which I'm going to assume is something on the back. And then I'd grow out my sideburns really long, so that the Jewish people would be like, "Oh, it's ironic," you know. Like I think I'm covered. I think I'm covered.
I think same.
And I try to dress
like a
guard.
What did you say? Estolo Latino? That was the most offensive thing you've ever said on this podcast.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Didn't you speak Spanish?
I did take Spanish. It doesn't mean anything.
Estola.
I mean, Latino, obviously. We know what that means. But
hola,
give me a break.
¿Cómo está?
I took Spanish and I was terrible at it.
Did you ever see the movie with Robert Redford and James Gandolfini in prison? I'd be like that. I'd build a catapult right away and launch something at something. Erica, how do you think you'd do in prison?
I think I'd be okay. I think I could outsmart my way around it.
Like, you've seen Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Like, how do you think you'd do it?
Yeah, I think, yeah, sort of like you. I'd start, you know, fucking people before they fuck me. Isn't that the way
you're supposed to do it? Thinking you can outsmart it. Thinking you can outsmart them seems like a tough move, though. People have been there. Long time. It's like how Erica came to the NFL.
Listen,
I think.
They always say in prison there's no stupid questions. You know what I mean? So you just go and start asking people things. You know, and be like, "Excuse me, where is this? Excuse me, what should I do? It's my first day." You know what I mean? Go up to the biggest guy and ask him ask him to be your friend. You know, ask him. You know, where do the cool kids sit? I think I'd be fine. Maybe protective custody is my fate, but I think that's a better fate than having your money stolen or having to join a gang. You know, I'm not much of a joiner. I might form my own gang. You know, maybe we could like...
You did join a fraternity.
Yeah.
Against my will. And then I never showed up. Like, if I could join a gang and then just not be... Like, where's Anthony? Where's Anthony today? Like, oh, he's getting high.
I would be in trouble. I stand by my conviction. I would do well in the armed forces. But put me in jail and I would crumble. It would be trouble.
Would you rather go to jail for a year or the armed forces for 4 years?
Armed forces, for sure. Are you
really
kidding me?
Really? 4 years away from your family or 1 year away from your family? You're taking
one
the four.
Is in jail. I mean, and you're gonna be changed. You're gonna be changed for the rest of your life in either scenario.
Not if you're in like a minimal security. You know what I mean? I assume your crime isn't that bad. I assume my crime.
I assume every jail is Oz.
I assume I'd be
until
like,
proven otherwise. It's either Oz or it's Aaron Hernandez.
I'm out of BC for sure. I'll wear my hat on the side of my head, and it'll never fall off, and no one will understand why. And that will be that mystery will keep people away from me.
I'm J.K. Simmons in Oz.
Anything else, Erica?
I'm reading. Yeah, I got another question real quick, but I'm reading this guy's blog, and he like writes letters to his mom, and then his mom posts them on this blog.
Okay.
And how he got, it's like, there's a page, it's like, why I'm in prison, and it's charge of involuntary manslaughter, and basically he had like lost his job and was super depressed, and like he tried to kill himself, but he was drinking a lot and taking pills, and he was like, the wife and kids came home, and he was like super fucked up and was like, stay in the room. And then had like one single bullet in a gun and was like downstairs and went to shoot himself. But the wife and baby were at the top of the stairs, and he was so fucked up that he didn't realize the gun was pointed backwards and shot her and killed her. So he's in prison for involuntary manslaughter. It's like an actual really long thing. It's really kind of crazy and moving at the same time. So notesfromthepen.com.
It's kind of a bummer that you would bring that up at the end of our like funny rant about
I know. I just was reading that, and then I was like, holy fuck.
I don't know if I'd like trust this guy's opinion on where I'd land in the prison system.
Yeah, seriously.
Based on his screwing up a suicide worse than I've ever heard anyone do.
Other people,
it sounds like a story he made up.
Yeah, maybe.
To shoot his wife.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
so you were reading that instead of listening to the great comedy coming from Anthony?
No, it was both. That's why I couldn't read it, because I was just laughing so fucking hard. A lot of people are emailing about why you're not doing the Netflix is a Joke tour that's all over Instagram. And
it's not a tour. It's a festival in Los Angeles. I live in Los Angeles. I understand why people would ask why I'm not doing it. They asked me to do it. And my material, which I work on a couple times a week, once a month at Largo every week, I'm close to half an hour. I'm not thrilled with the half an hour. Like, this is my fifth hour I'm working on. It's going to take a little more time than it normally does. I work on it in L.A. If you want to come see me, you can come see me in L.A. My tour dates are up. My dates are up at thecomedystore.com and at largola.com. Come see those shows. But I wasn't ready to do a festival thing. Like, they offered a lot of money to either co-headline or something or figure it out, and I just said no. I'm not ready for that level of spotlight, and I don't do things just for the money at this point. But yeah, there's no problem between me and Netflix. There's no problem between me and Comedy Central. I just didn't. I said no. But they did ask, and I will not be attending any of the events. Although, if you're in town and you want to go, you know, it seems like a great time to be in a festival atmosphere. So enjoy yourselves at the Netflix festival.
What is that scheduled for?
End of April. So like during over a week, and it's like you can't get a pass. It's like it's like every venue, every comedy venue, and a lot of the different theaters are doing different stuff.
Feels a little TBD at this point, probably, like anything.
No, because this isn't like, it's not like you know, like Coachella, where you're all in like this big same place. I don't know if people are really traveling into town for it. I think it's more like a festival in LA for LA. It'll be interesting and good for the people who are doing it. I'm sure if there's one next year, I'm sure I'll be a part of it. But yeah, I said no this time. I'm just not, I'm not ready. And if you see me at like a show like that, know that I'm pumped with my material and not just like work in progress. So that's that. What's our comment of the week?
From Kevin Bacon's Breakfast. Longtime listener, first time reviewer here. The last time I laughed as hard as I did at the penis job interview was either Caravan Talk or maybe even Always Sweep Before You Mop. Thank you guys for all that you do.
Wow.
It's very sweet. He liked the penis interview, which I think a
lot of
people did.
People really like that. I was surprised. My mom said it was one of her favorite episodes. I don't know if that was why. I think it was more the...
Your mom's always trying to get to know more about me.
I think it was more about the discussion at the beginning, you know, kind of working through our issues with the gift you gave. I don't know. I didn't really get into it, but she just said that was one of her favorite episodes.
Was her mouth watering when she said it? Was she drooling all over the place? Then I can guess.
I mean, you never know. They might have had that. They might have just put old JRVP episode 62 in that Airbnb they were renting for a little.
All I'm saying is Debbie 63. You know what I mean? It goes together. Like literally, like the day she's buried. I know what I'm doing. And now, and that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. And now it's time for
Ad Copy.
JRVP is brought to you by, that's right, Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Mack Weldon offers industry-leading underwear. But they're so much more than just an underwear company. You thought they were just an underwear company? Clean your ears out, you idiot. They really are a one-stop shop for men's basics of all kinds. Not only do they do underwear, socks, shirts by Mack Weldon look good, they perform well too. And you know what? They smell good. They're just good for working out, going to work, going out on dates, 63-ing, and then just everyday life. Mack Weldon values its loyal customers. That's why they've created the Weldon Blue Loyalty Program. Let me tell you how it works. I know you're curious. I know you want to hear what I'm about to say now. Step one, create an account. Sounds obvious? Mack Weldon doesn't leave anything up to chance. It's totally free, and you pick one of their loyalty levels. At level one, place an order for any amount. It can be like a penny, or it can be like $1 million worth of underwear, and then never pay for shipping again. At level two, once you purchase $200 worth of products from Mack Weldon, not only will you continue to receive free shipping, but they don't take that away, but you will also start saving 20% on every order you make for the next year. At level two, you're granted access to the new products before they are released to anyone else. It's just you. It's just people at level two, just like making it rain and new products from Mack Weldon, as well as free gifts added to future orders. You know, you got your underwear. People always let their underwear go bad before they get new ones. If you get on like a train where you just like have underwear coming in on the regular, then you're always going to look good when you take your pants off. I got fitted for suits today for Good Talk, and they saw me in my underwear, and I wasn't afraid because I had brand new pairs on, a brand new pair of underwear. People were like, damn, Anthony's so fresh and so clean, even though I haven't showered in a month. I heard you get corona from your shower head, and I'm not taking anything up to chance. I ran out of toilet paper years ago, but I have fresh underwear on. If you don't like your first pair, you can keep it. You know you can't return underwear? Mack Weldon understands that and knows their frustration. If you don't like your first pair, you can keep it. Mack Weldon will still refund you. No questions asked. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter promo code VANITY. Always look your best underneath your clothes. And that was
Copy.
Boom. See how it's done? You know how much underwear I just sold? I could have walked in. I could have gone back in time to be like on Columbus's boat showing up to Indians who didn't even know what underwear was. And the next day, they'd be Mack Weldon head to toe. They'd be using underwear for gloves because I sold it to them. I could sell white underwear to a person holding a ketchup lollipop. Okay?
Didn't really stick the landing
there. I could sell underwear full of ice cubes to Eskimos. If I went to prison, people would be like, don't mess with that guy. Did you see his underwear? It's Mack Weldon. He's not stuck in here with us. We're stuck in here with Mack Weldon. All right, let's get to
headlines. I've never been so uncomfortable by the facial expressions and that you were making.
This is why I don't let you read the ads anymore. Grug read ads last week, and I was like, I'm taking over. That's why we got Mack Weldon.
I mean, that's great for everyone listening. It's not as great for us here as Anthony stripped down to his Mack Weldons while he was reading the ads.
You could learn. I'm like the Mark Wahlberg of Mack Weldon. Word to your mother is something Mark Wahlberg probably said at some point during that time.
You see that new Mark Wahlberg movie with Marc Maron in it?
I did not. Leslie Lestrange is in it, too. I have not seen it, but the reviews have been mwah, as they say in Spanish.
All right, let's let's go to the headlines. I'm excited about all of them this week. Japanese billionaire Yusaku Miyazawa.
Yeah?
Let's do that again. Japanese billionaire Yusaku Miyazawa, who owns the online retailer Zozo, has pulled out of a documentary which was set to pit women against one another for the right to take a ride with him around the moon. 28,000 women had applied to be in this documentary, kind of like a I don't know, a weird spin on a dating show. But he changed his mind and was very apologetic, pulled out of it.
Was it going to be a reality show or just like a movie that they showed on TV? Like, would it show the competition to like narrow it down? Like, or was it just like the winner and him get on a spaceship? I assume maybe like an airplane that has like extra propellers, or maybe a spaceship, maybe just a giant kite, but go around the moon and back. Because I could see a movie just about that.
Like that was the documentary. But he was seeking women, and the only thing he said was they had to be over 20 years old, which is a weird cutoff for a 44-year-old guy who would become his girlfriend as part of this documentary to be aired on a streaming service. I would imagine that the process of finding the girlfriend would be part of it, but I guess I don't know that for sure.
I think they might just say documentary. It might have been a reality show.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't say why he pulled out.
He said he was extremely remorseful to all the applicants and everyone. He has 7 million Twitter followers. Somehow he's the most followed account in Japan. Zozo is apparently very popular. Emeka's a big fan. I asked her about it.
I can tell you exactly why he pulled out.
Yeah, just as a store, not of this guy, but yeah.
28,000 applicants?
Yeah.
28,000 uggos.
Why would he say that?
Because why else would he pull out? It must have been Dog City. And were they all Japanese applicants, or were they around the world?
Considering it was a Japanese, you know, show, I believe, and it was set in Tokyo, I would imagine it'd be mostly Japanese.
I mean, you know how much Japanese hate American women. Like, they want nothing to do with them.
That's not true. But Japan is about as...
I was being 100% sarcastic.
I know. About as homogenous as any country out there.
The women
it's like
were
97%
there
Japanese.
There was no one that he was like, I want to get into an enclosed space with this woman. They were just 28,000 ugly people. Now, how big is the population in Japan?
How do I know this?
Because your wife's Japanese.
Like, what? How big is the population of the United States?
10 billion.
I learned a lot about this guy, though. I was kind of amazed. He said he was going to give away he's been known to do a bunch of different wacky things. He said he was going to give away $9 million to his Twitter followers in a social experiment to see if the money made them happier.
He said he was going to do it, or he did it?
He said it's going to happen. I guess it's coming.
Okay.
It's 126.8 million is Japan.
It's just important we don't tax people like that.
He also came up, apparently he's tried a bunch of things that haven't worked too well.
You're kidding.
As CEO, he launched the Zozo suit, a polka dot body suit that allowed users to collect body measurements to order custom made clothes. They like you would put on like a crazy bodysuit and that would get you your measurement. Apparently that didn't work.
That didn't work?
That didn't work too well.
Even though it was polka dots? And so he got 28,000 applications, 20,000 pictures. And was like, you know what? Not because of these pictures, but something, you know, I'm got to listen to my heart. They were uggos. I don't want to, I try to be body positive on this show. They couldn't fit in a space suit.
I mean, that doesn't seem possible considering, first of all, just the number of people you would think you'd find some. Plus,
that's why the story's shocking. That's why I wouldn't talk about it. Because like, what are the chances you get 28,000 dogs?
Plus the population of Japan, whether you're a fan or not, not a lot of fatties. I mean, what, you know, it's remarkable. You've been there, being on the subway, that like no one is overweight in the way, or very few people are in the way that us Americans are big fatties.
But you can be skinny and still a total uggo.
Sure, sure.
Who taught you the word uggo?
I heard it on the street on my way here, and I liked it. Because I don't like calling someone ugly. I think it's mean. I think it's mean spirited, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
I think this is
but calling someone an uggo, like if you're an uggo, you hear that word and it sounds like a whistle.
I mean, this whole angle is mean spirited. The voyage around the moon was supposed to be, or is going to be on SpaceX, the Elon Musk.
Is he still going to go by himself? Because then that changes my theory.
I mean, you would think he's not giving up on the trip.
If he went by himself, I would think he learned about the wonders of space turbation. But you're just like, you're on the dark side of the moon, you crank one out. I bet it feels amazing. I bet it's like cranking it out in America and like in on Earth times 1.5. I bet it's just like it blows your mind. Yeah, I'd rather be by myself doing the knuckle shuffle than with some uggo talking about God knows what, getting to know each other, trying to start a relationship from the ground up. Sounds like pure hell. I'd rather crash into the moon in a spaceship.
You know Elon Musk's girlfriend Grimes, new album.
Is it good?
The whole theme is about space.
I can't listen. I can never take Grimes seriously again now that she's with Elon Musk.
She did kind of ruin her for me.
There's three or four good songs on it.
There's three or four good songs. But the space derbation jam, not a great one.
I mean, that's because you're listening to it. You're not experiencing it in 4D. Written the stars on satellite, make a new pattern. That song sounds like Elon Musk doing a Grimes song, like a karaoke.
Really does ruin her. It's too bad. This has been an awfully like blue, you know, episode here. Just starting, I guess it's appropriate.
It's episode 63. What are you gonna do? You know what I mean?
I don't think this story could go too wrong. It's about Tito's vodka. They had to warn customers this week not to use their vodka while making homemade hand sanitizer.
And how did this start? Like, who started the rumor?
A fan or a guy tweeted out how he was making his homemade hand sanitizer, telling people to do it, and he was using Tito's vodka, and it got some social media traction, and they had to shoot it down and say, no, Tito's is 40% alcohol, 80 proof. You got to be 120 proof alcohol to be used in a homemade hand sanitizer.
That's right. I just, you know, this is more like informational than entertainment, but, you know, while Tito's vodka will cure the virus if you have it, like if you gargle it or just like funnel it, like you can't just do a shot, but if you do four shots and kind of just do them all at once, you can cure yourself of the virus.
That's what Brother Al did.
As far as your hands go, you got to go Grey Goose. Remember, if it's not Grey Goose on your hands, then you're sick. That's how you remember it. If it's not Grey Goose on your hands, then you're sick. Like, smell your hands. I think that's what they're saying. Smell your hands every couple of hours. And if they don't smell like Grey Goose, if they smell like Absolute, go to the hospital. If they smell like just nothing, then just lay down.
Wait, what about Tito's? I sort of lost the plot here. The Grey Goose.
Tito's is the cure.
Okay.
But it won't do anything for your hands. Tito's is like an internal thing. You know what I mean? If you cut yourself with the coronavirus, pour some Tito's on it, it's not going to do anything. You got to get Grey Goose to pour on those corona wounds. And just remember, if your hands don't smell like Grey Goose, then you're sick. I just leave out like a tub of Grey Goose and just kind of put my hands in them, like rub them around in there. I don't pour it on my hands. I don't want to waste it. I just keep the tub of Grey Goose and just move it around.
Maybe I should tell Walker about that. Try it with Brother Al, stuffed animal. Mm-hmm.
Put a stuffed animal in Grey Goose.
Wait, aren't they the same proof? They're all vodka. They're the same 80 proof.
Listen, if vodka was all the same, then it would come in the same bottle. Mm. Think about it like that.
You know what? Alcohol is over 60% alcohol content. So
Purell?
It would work. Yeah, I've been drinking Purell. Everclear?
Really?
Sure. That's like 190 proof. So that would be a high enough alcohol content. You could use Everclear. Bacardi 151. It's in the number, 151.
Let me ask you this. Bacardi 151, Everclear, do they smell like Grey Goose?
No.
Then you're sick.
What about the New York State hand sanitizer that they're making the prisoners make?
I didn't hear about this.
You didn't? Oh, I thought that's what you were getting mad about earlier. Mario Cuomo, like, weirdly proud that, you know, because there's a shortage in New York, like, they're making their own New York State hand sanitizer, and they're making, like, you know, prisoners in jail make it.
But it smells like Grey Goose. Because if it doesn't smell like Grey Goose, then you're sick. I'm scared of the things I see. Don't sleep, I just toss and turn. I've seen lovers crash and burn. I can't believe they're calling this hip-hop.
I know, it's ridiculous.
It's the whitest thing I've ever heard. It's so white.
I'm really excited.
I was reading something on social media before we get into the next headline that someone, it was like a black person talking, and they were saying that they said that doing acoustic versions of old songs is a white person thing. And the white person they were talking to was like, I think that's a generalization. And they watched the white person spend an hour online trying to find an acoustic version of something that wasn't a white person.
It's fair.
I just thought of one actually just now. I think there is, I think that, oh, fuck, I can't even forget. Outkast.
Yeah.
Skinny one. Andre 3000?
Sure.
Did an acoustic version of Hey Ya.
Yeah, but that's his own song.
Yeah, but still. It's still, but was it even him, or was it someone else who did it? I think it was him. Maybe it was a remix.
I mean, this show Andre is going three, so Andre well 3000. Until this last little bit.
Smell your hands. What do they smell like?
Grey Goose.
All right. Continue.
I'm very sad to announce the passing of the creator of the Konami Code.
What's his name?
Kazuhisa Hashimoto passed away this week. If you don't know what the Konami Code is, I guess you're not a man or woman who grew up in the 90s playing Contra.
It's not just it's not the Konami Code. I think they're calling it that, but it's I mean it's the Contra Code. It only worked for
well,
Contra.
Well, here's the thing. No, it he started it. Hashimoto started it. He worked for Konami, and if you had, you know, if you weren't playing video games back in the Nintendo days, it was up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, start,
or select start if you were playing with a friend. I had friends.
I always pressed start, start, and now I realize the second start was just that was just for nothing.
Didn't hurt.
It didn't. He actually created that code years before Contra even came out, but then it became kind of a popular thing within Konami, and they started like putting it in a bunch of their games. He said he had played this one game, Gradius, actually was the first one, and he couldn't figure out how to beat it, and so he put that code in it just for himself, so that when he was playing it, he could just beat it, and then it got out into the wild.
When you say beat it, you mean like
win the game?
Okay, I thought you were talking about some Dark Side of the Moon action. Yeah, it's the only code I've ever known. I loved video games when I was a kid. It's the only code I could ever do. Like, I could never figure out any other codes, even if you gave me the code book. But I did that every time. Contra is one of the only games I've ever beaten on the original Nintendo. My friends and I would play it all the time. It was so fun to play, even if you had the codes. You'd have 30 lives. So at least this guy has 29 lives left, is the joke that every single person is making, so we're not going to do
really?
It here. I'm sure. Someone heard that guy died, and they're like, well, he's got 29 lives left.
It gave you 30 lives on the game Contra, which I'm sure you're not familiar with, Erica, and that made it very easy, or at least easier to beat, especially when you picked up that spread machine gun.
Mm-hmm. The spread machine gun was the best one. I mean, all the guns were great. You were like one of two guys, a blonde guy and a dark-haired guy, and you had guns, and you were shooting aliens and killing aliens running from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen. Sometimes you were shooting straight ahead, and that was fun as hell. And if you had 30 lives, honestly, you could play it forever. It was one of the best games on the original Nintendo.
I mean, this was back when, you know, there's only like four different channels and forms of entertainment, so everyone actually knew Tecmo Bowl and Contra.
Mm-hmm. But Contra had the code. Was there a Tecmo Bowl code? I don't know.
Not that I'm aware of. It would sometimes...
It turned everyone into Bo Jackson fighting aliens.
Sometimes it would mess up and the guy jumping for a touchdown would just jump through the top of the screen, but that was more of a glitch. One of my favorite things about the article about Hashimoto, though, which kind of reminded me of my father-in-law a little bit. He said, it says his age has been variously reported as either 61 or 79.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he drank himself to death.
Whoa. I just mean Watanabe-san, my father-in-law. He's a man of mystery. Like, you could tell me he was 20 years younger than he actually is, I'd believe it. He hasn't aged a bit since I've met him. And the gap in the two ages that Hashimoto-san, as they called him in this article, is pretty wide, 61 or 60. Or 79. It's like it's one or the other, but they're not sure which.
Which of the two ways did he die?
Like,
did
that?
He drink himself to death, or did he throw himself in front of a bullet train?
Those are
the only two ways to go over there.
That's racist. it was used in more than 100 games, actually. including Castlevania, Mortal Kombat 3, and Contra.
You could do that in Castlevania? I wish I had known, because I love that game and I sucked at it. Rest in peace.
Hashimoto.
Hashimoto. And now it's time for
Ad Copy.
Support for this program and the following message come from Comedy Central and their new podcast, Everyday Decisions with Joe Firestone. A podcast so nice, we're reading free ads for it twice. Joe Firestone, a friend of mine, a hilarious comic, a delightful comedic mind, is a New York-based comedian who has appeared on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, Joe Parra Talks With You, Shrill, and more. Dive deep into the specifics and eccentricities of the daily routines of Joe's favorite comedians, authors, musicians, and more. Everyday Decisions provides a glimpse into the daily choices and rituals, both big and small, that help people get through their day. Hear interviews with Mike Birbiglia, stand-up, quote-unquote, comedian, and writer-director of Sleepwalk With Me, and Don't Think Twice. Claire Saffitz, recipe developer and host of Bon Appetit's YouTube series Gourmet Makes. Cleo Chang, senior writer for Vice Magazine and politics reporter for The Nation and Jezebel, and more people in that same vein of people. Subscribe now to Everyday Decisions with Joe Firestone on Apple Podcasts. See, this is the kind of thing that Comedy Central is bringing into the fold, I think, that we created. Like, they had the Daily Show podcast, which is just like the Daily Show audio version. They had the Jim Jefferies one, which is just like an audio version of that. That's now gone. Nikki Glaser, You Up. That's just a recap of her radio shows on a specific podcast. We were the first specific podcast.
We're the flagship.
And then we've had other teams like You're To Dance, which has taken over America in a serial type way. And now Everyday Decisions with Joe Firestone, which is why I'm going to be asking for more money come season 3. Because we attract high-time talent. That's right. High-time talent. Like Joe Firestone.
We got into Vulture's best comedy podcast of 2019.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We did it.
There's nothing more left to accomplish.
Nope.
It's on you, Joe.
Nope. We could mail it in for the next 37 episodes, but we're not going to. Okay? My whole body smells like Grey Goose, but I'm still sick. And that was
Ad Copy.
Why is that the thing you've enjoyed saying the most, I think, on this entire podcast?
Because I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with me, 63.
Okay. But I feel better when I'm with you. I could feel better. I mean, you clearly didn't listen to any of these songs.
Finally, some real hip hop.
What do you mean? I have to cut. You think they're all just like 6 seconds?
I don't know.
And I just,
I don't what's know, the name? They're not. How could you sell them as hip hop?
Because there's this thing called Vocal Studio, and this says hip hop rock. Okay.
Okay.
Hip hop rock.
I mean,
I think of like Sneaker Pimps when I think hip hop rock.
Yeah.
Not that. That sounded like a Bad. Like the song Bad by Michael Jackson.
I think of that, what was that soundtrack? It was like the first
Judgment Night,
where it was like one big rock act, one big like rap artist. They're going to be on a song together. It's Judgment Night.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That was actually me doing this. We didn't play the song.
I'm going to replace every song that I've played so far with just you doing that.
It was Helmet and House of Pain. That was one. Faith No More and Booyah Tribe.
That's the one I was doing.
Living Color and Run DMC. Teenage Fan Club and De La Soul. And people, when this came out, was like, this is the future of music. It's Pearl Jam and Cypress Hill on the same song. And it was terrible.
Greg, I feel like you've gotten off track.
I'm waiting for you to call for what's going on next.
Another headline?
That's right. Let's go on to the final one. It's William Shatner. What a great guy. What a great guy to have back in our lives.
I'll say it right now. I don't like William Shatner.
You don't?
No.
Why not?
We met on one of the roasts. He was against me from the start. He thinks I take it too far. He thinks I'm... he didn't like the spirit I brought to the roasts.
He was
a good sport when he was on stage with me, but didn't like me. When people don't like me, I don't like them. And I'll tell you what William Shatner's hands smell like right now. Horse semen.
Right. I was going to say, if you do not like him, you're not going to like this story, because he made out like a bandit in his divorce settlement from his fourth wife Elizabeth after 18 years of marriage, according to court documents. The divorce settlement included the couple splitting their dogs, their horses, their houses, but William Shatner gets all the horse semen.
And how old is William Shatner?
He's 88 years old, and apparently these two bred a number of horses together.
He's 88?
I know. I was surprised by that. He's had a lot of work done. So
everyone else from Star Trek is
pretty
dead.
Good work.
He's the only one who's still left alive, so he's got to be old as can be. They're all dead. Every single person.
What about Leonard
show.
Nimoy?
He's been dead. He's been dead for years.
Okay. Well, they actually split up their horses, but Renaissance Man's Metachai, that's one of the horses. And Powder
Don't
River
all the
Shirley.
Don't name all the horses.
Apparently, they have a lot of, they've got a lot of horse semen, and he gets to keep it.
Does it say in the article, did he drink the semen? Did he open it up in the courtroom and just pound it?
I assume it's being used to breed more horses.
But he's 88. Imagine making 88 years and not being tempted. Like, why did he fight so hard for it? He's 88. I got to think he wants to drink it.
Well, there's a lot.
Because if he just wanted to have horse babies with it, it's like, yeah, you can make the horse babies. I'll come visit. Because she gets visitation rights. I got to think he wants to chug it. He wants to chug the horse.
Why? I mean, if anything, that you would think would make his now ex-wife
remember the
furious.
Guy, remember the guy a couple weeks ago we
they
talked
battled
about?
Over this, and he gets the horse semen, and he's just going to drink it?
Remember the guy a couple weeks ago we talked about who burned, he said he burned like $500,000 so his wife couldn't have it? He said he burned it
yeah.
and didn't have a video?
Yeah.
This is like that. It's like you get divorced, and you're like, oh, you wanted this horse semen? Well, whoops, glug, glug, glug. Now who's going to die soon? I feel like that's Shatner's whole game.
If I was writing like a winners and losers from this divorce, I think that the biggest loser is his ex-wife's dead husband. She was a widower. And as part of this divorce settlement, she can go over to visit William Shatner's ranch where the horses are and the horse semen is and the remains of her ex-husband are at that ranch. So, like, imagine this poor guy, like, he dies. He basically, he finds out you married William Shatner, and then you leave my remains at William Shatner's house.
Yeah, that is weird. I didn't think about that when I first heard this story. But I would think, if I was William Shatner, all right, I don't like my ex-wife, I would think that after I drank all the horse semen, that I would just wait to go to the bathroom. And then go to the husband's grave and just cop a squat and then defecate on the grave and then let it like wait till it like rained once to let the manure kind of get down into the grave. And then I would get a shovel. I would dig it up. I would wait for the wife to come and visit. And when she looked down into the grave, she wouldn't see two people. She'd just see a number. And that number, 63. I still feel sick. Maybe it was too much wine. Since we started JRVP, we've been waiting for the 63rd episode so we could do something like this. This is all written down on my arm.
I can't wait till this gets canceled or just runs its course. We start another podcast somewhere else, and then we get to episode 63 of that podcast.
I would try to do I would try to do 62 podcasts in 1 week, and then take a little time off, and then just come back guns blazing. Maybe when William Shatner dies, we'll do a podcast just about that. Like talk about different aspects of his death. Could
visit his ranch.
But now it's time for
choo choo.
Recommendation station. Greg, what do you got for us this week?
I'm recommending a book. I'm very excited about this one. It's called Last Boat to Tangier by Kevin Barry. I think you'd really enjoy it, Anthony. It's about two Irish gangsters kind of in their early 50s waiting at a dock for one of their daughters to possibly show up or not. And I don't need to go into depth any further, but it's really funny. The writing is just kind of like is amazing. The dialogue between the guys, it's very like dark black comedies. They've done a lot of bad things In their life.
It's like a Waiting for Godot situation? Like the whole plot is them just waiting?
I did sort of. I mean, no, it goes back to their history and how they kind of got there. Someone did review it and say it was Waiting for Godot meets In Bruges. Or Bruges? Is it pronounced? Bruges.
Bruges.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Of course.
Great movie. If that sounds something that you'd like. And just his...
What's it called again?
Last Boat to Tangier by Kevin Barry. It was one of the five best New York Times books last year. It was real, just like the writing. I don't know what it is about Ireland these days, but you got Sally Rooney, you got Milkman, which I enjoyed a lot, and you got this book by Kevin Barry. A lot of good Irish writers.
You almost had like a well-focused book review, and then you just went off about Irish.
It was like five. It was like 15 seconds.
Erica, do you have a review?
I nailed it.
Do you have a recommendation?
I do. This week, I want to recommend an app called Albert. And I know you hate it, but you were just talking about using your Calm app to sleep and everything. So hear me out. Actually, this probably wasn't for you. Albert is a app that you link your bank account too, and it basically does a savings fund in the background. So you put on like smart savings, and depending on how much I have in my checking account, it'll do a percentage of, you know, anywhere from $5 to $80 per week. And so money is, why are you laughing? It's really helping me save. And over the past like 3 months, I have $1,500 that has been saving. It's like, instead of spending the coffee, it kind of looks at what you've been spending, and it won't take money out if your checking account is too low or whatever. So someone that's in my financial situation, it does help where I have something that's sort of, I'm doing my own saving on the side, but also like $5 here, $40 here, you know, kind of just right off the top.
It's an app that you give your financial information to.
Yeah, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It's been rated on a lot of different tech company websites as being a decent company, and there's been a lot of write-ups on it, and I decided to give it a shot, and it's been really helpful with helping me plan financially.
I was only laughing at Anthony's facial expressions.
Yeah.
I was laughing at the idea of you're going to lose all your money when someone hacks that app and takes.
It's the same thing as my bank. I have my bank account on an app too.
When you said it's the same thing as your bank, think about what you just said.
It's not, obviously, but you have all your stuff online anyways.
Okay.
Do you not have a Bank of America app or whatever app?
No, America. I have a business manager.
Okay, well, so a lot of our listeners are like me, and they don't have a business manager.
None of our listeners are like you. I can honestly say that none of our listeners are quite like you. My recommendation this week is a book, The Aosawa Murders, Aosawa Murders, by Riku Onda. It's a Japanese book translated into English. It's about a mass murder that takes place decades ago. A family is having a giant party, like a dual birthday party, and someone delivers a bunch of sake and soda for the kids. Everyone does a big cheers, and they all die. Like dozens and dozens of people die from this whole family is wiped out, except for one little girl who is blind and cannot really help the investigators at all. And this novel takes place over like the next 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years of people trying to figure out the story and talk to different witnesses and detectives. It's a brilliant novel, beautifully written. Mm. And by the end, you're like, I think I know who did it. I'm pretty sure I figured this out, this mystery. But it's just like, it's one of those books that the mystery is not the point. It's how beautifully written it is. The characters are great. This was highly recommended by the New York Times, I believe. The Aosawa Murders by Riku Onda, one of the best books I've read so far this year. I highly recommend it, and I think people will enjoy it. Again, support your local bookstore, and that was
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. Paige, get us out of here.
Oh, knife for toddle.
That's a spicy meatball.
Do you know Paige? Every week listens to that part over and over again. She likes to hear her voice on the thing.
Oh.
She liked to listen to her mom whispering her the line right before it.
Yeah, I think it's cute.
She's 2.5 years old.
Maybe next time just study. Read up a little bit.
You know what her hands smell like? Diapers.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.